Hello, this is Sarah Brightman.
Hello, and here's Frank Peterson. I'm Sarah's producer on most of her tracks. And we are here to quickly talk about the tracks on this Rarities compilation that will cover songs that we have done over the last almost 25 years. So the first track is Kama Sutra.
I think Kama Sutra was the beginning of the Harem album, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was planned to be the beginning of the Harem album, and then we just took it off.
So really, all of these songs are pieces that got away. They weren't used for various reasons.
Exactly. That's why we call them rarities. Yeah.
So, just to remind myself.
Yes.
As you sit on this sort of very nice winter's evening.
Yes.
With the fog swirling round outside the window.
Yeah. So Kama Sutra, as the name suggests, comes from the movie Kama Sutra. It was written by a man called Michael Danner.
He's a very famous
movie score writer.
Yes, he's Canadian, right? Yes, wonderful writer. Yes.
And he gave us permission to kind of put a vocalese vocal to his beautiful melody.
Yes.
And it ended up actually opening the Harem concerts. So in the venue that song was played, but it was never released really.
Mm-hmm.
We released a live version then on the Harem live CD and live DVD. But the studio version has never been released. The next one is Hurry Home.
Very much your choice.
Very much my choice. Yeah. It's by a band called Wavelength.
Yes.
It's like,
I sort of went along with it and did it, but I was never really that keen, so I think that's probably why it didn't end up
exactly
anywhere.
Exactly. You didn't agree with me, although you sang it very, very, very beautifully. It's a kind of one-hit wonder kind of song by this band. I don't think if they even did an album or something. I don't really know. I don't think so. I think it's just a one-off song. And I found it on an English, one of these cheap compilation that you find in the bin, you know. So I bought that and I thought, oh, what a lovely song, you know, what a hidden gem. And I just knew for a couple of years that one day I should cover it. And then we tried it out and you sang it beautifully and I thought, let's just do it. But then it never was used. I think we did it for the Fly album very early on.
Yes.
So next song is Watermark.
Enya,
exactly.
Yes.
Now, the question is, how much into details do you want to go on?
Well, not really. I think I was, you know, I love Enya. I think she's absolutely amazing. And it was just a tryout on a particular piece like this that was so well known, just to see how it would go. I think rather than anything, I'm not sure that either of us really wanted to use it. This was the result. It wasn't, of course, used.
No. Well, originally it's an instrumental piece.
Yeah.
And I think between us we had the idea to maybe add vocals, you know, lyrics as well.
Yes.
Which was refused by her and her record company, which happened to be also our record company at that time. And they really kind of made a thing about it that, you know, they didn't want us to do it at all.
Well, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
It's fine. You know, it's if a song has been written like that, it's their prerogative to decide whether they want it made into a vocal line or not, and they didn't. So, but it was fun to try out. It was an interesting procedure that we went through with it.
Right.
So
we ended up doing the song just as a vocalese, and you just basically doing the melody that was written.
Yes.
The way it was written. And we recorded it with the London Symphony Orchestra for the Timeless album.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's absolutely stunning.
It is. It's a beautiful piece.
It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It would have been, you know, sad to be lost. So now we put it out there, since we're not with our record company anymore. So. Next one is Desert Rose. It's a very short piece.
This was done for the Harem album, was it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But we wanted to use it, but it was done a couple of years before for German TV film, you know, main channel TV film, and it was a theme song. And the theme song was written, and they wanted to have you singing it. So and we just did it. So it was never released. It was only put on this TV film called Die Wüstenrose.
Right, okay. So was it a hit in Germany?
Well, the film was a big hit.
Yes.
It was like seen by millions of people.
Right.
But there was never a soundtrack to the film.
Right.
So we just contributed that song, you know, some German composer wrote that song,
mm-hmm.
and we just added your vocals.
Yes.
I think the lyrics were yours, even. I think you wrote the lyrics.
I think they were, yes.
So it's an also nice little, you know, a very short song, but a nice little gem that is like, hasn't been really heard ever.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a song called The Same Thing to You, which is like Sarah's hippie track.
I don't remember this one too well. What happened there?
Well, you remember Nosy Katzmann, who used to be hanging around us, and we met him a couple of times and went out and so on. And Nosy...
He was a very famous...
composer, yeah.
Composer, yeah. For dance hits,
exactly,
wasn't he?
Exactly,
in the sort of European scene that time in the 90s.
Well, most people don't know that Nosy is originally a country songwriter. He loves country and western. And all these songs originally are done as country and western songs and then get picked up by dance producers to be put as a chorus.
Yes.
In front of, you know, it's this typical thing, you know, that there's a guy rapping and then there's a girl singing the chorus. That was the European dance music of the early 90s. But what most people don't know, that Nosy was so successful with his music that there was a year, I don't know when it was, like 93 or something, where the whole entire year he was with 10 different songs in the top 5 of the Canadian charts.
That's amazing.
I mean, he wrote, I don't know, 30 massive hits by acts like Snap. I mean, big, big hits all over Europe. The rest of the world probably don't know them, but he is one of the most successful songwriters in Germany. So because we kind of were friends and we hung out and so on, he said, I would love to write a song for Sarah. And he had this song, and we actually, and he was very happy that in that time, most of the people just took his chorus. And we took the entire song the way it was. And actually, he sang backing vocals on this song.
Yeah.
I said, listen, we can't do it as a country and western song, but we can, you know, we can give it a little hippie vibe. And it was almost done live, you know, with just 3 guitars, a bit of percussion in the room and just singing along.
Yes.
So it's a cute song. Never ended up on any of your records, but it's available now. Then there is He Moved Through the Fair.
Which is quite short.
Yes.
But very beautiful. It's a wonderful piece of Celtic writing. And it was gorgeous to sing. I remember doing it. It was on a Sunday evening that I sang it. I think I was in the middle of doing a play in London, and I came over that weekend so that we could, usually Sunday was the day for singing before I went back to London and went to the theatre. So it's, I did it fairly quickly. It was very, these kind of songs, always these kind of Irish kind of sounding songs or Celtic songs actually suit me really well. And I did this really quickly, I remember, and enjoyed it.
Yeah, the song is like just about over 2 minutes long, and I don't think we took much more time for recording it. That's like, it's so in your system, isn't it?
Yes.
We did this, I think, after the Fly album and just before the Timeless album, and it ended up on a B-side of a single.
Yes.
But it was only released in Germany, so again, it's a real rare track. Then there's a song by Ennio Morricone, Once Upon a Time in the West.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, it's I would say it's definitely in my top 100 list of all songs mm-hmm. ever written. And at that time, I remember that we tried, there was the same time that we tried to get permission to do Nella Fantasia. And I didn't have the guts to kind of ask him for a second song to give us.
Well, I think with Morricone, many people, I mean, I remember having a conversation with an agent friend of mine in Los Angeles, and him saying, don't even go there. He said he always refuses people to, you know, really cover their songs as vocal pieces, so it's not going to happen. But I think that point with Nella Fantasia, we actually recorded it, I think, before asking permission, or did a demo of it for him to listen to. And I think he liked it so much, he said, yes, okay. And I think it was probably one of the first time he'd allowed that to have happened. But with Once Upon a Time in the West, I mean, that was always a vocalese anyway, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so I wasn't doing anything.
No.
I was just following through what had been done before.
But now, in the meantime, I mean, that was really one of the very early recordings. We did that song for Timeless. I mean, maybe at one point we should revisit it and say, you know, now that there are lyrics for it, we might just do it again someday.
Yes.
But here's the original version. It's like about 20 years ago.
Yes. The next track is called On the Nile. And It's actually really beautiful, this piece. It has a sort of Disney flavour about it, and me being a complete lover of any Disney song done by a soprano or whatever, I was really happy to do it and sing it in that sort of very sweety way. It suited my voice very nicely. Did it make it onto anything? I'm not sure that it did, or...
Yeah, it made it... it was the B-side of the original version of A Question of Honour. So it's been only out in Germany and nowhere else.
Right.
It was actually written by a guy called Matthias Wilfonseder, who was one of the main European composers for advertisements.
Right.
He writes all the adverts for BMW, for example. And he had that song... This song was actually done in German for an advertising campaign, and I heard it and I said, why do I know this song? Why do I know this song? And he told me that, you know, it got really kind of inspired. He got really inspired, very inspired by The Jungle Book. I said, right, yeah, of course. That's what it is. So I said, you know, is that okay? I mean, you know, did you get away with that? And I said, yeah, it's all been proven. It's all sorted. Don't worry about it. I said, well, if that's the case, I would really like to do this with Sarah. And then I played it to you. You completely loved it. You immediately knew what it was. And yeah, so we ended up doing it.
The next song is called One Day I'll Fly Away. And of course, the original being done by Randy Crawford, which is really interesting, wonderful funk version. We did it sort of completely differently.
Yeah. And just like the Moulin Rouge version.
Yes, basically. Exactly.
Just even bigger.
Even bigger, yeah. Triple the orchestra. From what I remember, it's very much a demo version of it. I think I probably just sang it a couple of times just to see how it would sound in my voice.
When I found the tape of it,
yes,
it basically just said monitor mix. So what we did at that time was recorded also ages ago.
Yes.
And what we did basically is, then on some of the songs, you actually went into the recording room and to record with the orchestra, just to give the conductor your timing.
Right.
So it wasn't even for the purpose of ever being used, these vocals, but they were very good.
Right.
Okay, so it's just a one take live with the orchestra, and that ended up on a little DAT tape. And yes. I found that. I thought, hey, that's very good, you know. So it's like, it's not even a demo. It's just like a tryout, basically. And
it's
not even sung with full throttle. It's just like... But it's too good to be thrown away.
Okay.
Good. That's this album. More to come on the next one.